Howdy, folks. Today, we are going to be wrapping up James chapter 2. We're going to talk about verses 25 and 26. If you have not been following all of our studies in the book of James, it would be the very best for you to start with the lesson in James 1:1 and continue through so that you can get everything we've talked about up to this point, because it all works together. It's a letter, and you don't want to start reading a letter in the middle, right? If you don't want to go all the way back to chapter 1 and verse 1, you're going to miss some things that fit into this lesson. But at the very least, start at James 2:14 and work your way through, because we have talked about faith, works, justification, and how all that works together in our previous lessons. And I'm not going to repeat all of that information today as we close out this chapter. As we look at verses 25 and 26, it's going to be a short lesson because of everything we have covered thus far that I don't want to repeat. So the text says in verses 25 and 26 of James chapter 2, "Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." The fact that this verse starts off with the word likewise, we're tying backwards, right? What we talked about with Abraham, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered his Isaac, his son, upon the altar? And everything we talked about. So again, the context is a major point. You want to make sure you grab it all. To dive into these particular things that we're going to talk about today, we are just simply going to talk about from the original text that James is looking back towards, what happened with Rahab the harlot? What works did she do? Where did her faith come from? What happened as a result of her faith? So that takes us back to the book of Joshua. And this is why it's going to be a little bit of a shorter podcast, is the text speaks for itself. I mean, I'd have to work really hard to make this difficult, and I'm not down with working hard and making things difficult. So Joshua chapter 2, we're going to have to look at the whole entire chapter, says this beginning at verse 1. "And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, 'Behold, there came in and hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country.' And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, 'Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country.' And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, 'There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whether the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for you shall overtake them.' But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, 'I know that the Lord have given you the land, and your terror is fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side, Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. Notice this statement. This is awesome. This harlot says this, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. There is her faith, her works. If you continue to read, she says, now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours. If ye utter not this our business, and that shall be, when the Lord have given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she lay down, let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get ye to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward ye may go your way. The men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thither thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of the house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. And she said, according unto your word, so be it. She sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went, and came unto the mountain, and abode there 3 days, until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned, descended from the mountain, passed over, came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all the things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitant of the country do faint because of us. So there's the account of Rahab, how she had heard with the inhabitants of Jericho about what God had done in bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt, as well as the conquering of their enemies. Her confession, her understanding, her moving with fear. See, that's what faith does. Faith is active. You, as we're going to talk about here in just a moment, and we have talked about already, you can't have true faith without works. It's impossible. Faith moves people. Like Noah in Hebrews 11 and verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house by which he condemned the world and become heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And like we talked about last week, Abraham, etc., you move. When you believe, you move. You do something. You can't have faith without works. So, as you go through the book of Joshua, the children of Israel do get to Jericho. And you might be familiar with the account a little bit where they walk around the walls of the city and blow the trumpet, etc., and the walls fall. Well, in that account, Joshua chapter 6, beginning at verse 16, says, it came to pass at the seventh time when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and this city shall be accursed, even it and all that therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are in her, all that are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets. Came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up under the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. But Joshua has said unto the two men that spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in, brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren, all that she had. They brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire, all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of the iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even to this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. See? Her faith delivered her. Why? Because her faith worked. It's like Hebrews 11 and verse 31 says, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. So that's James 2:25. See, it's not very difficult. And I love it, because if anybody's confused, by the time you get through James 2:26 about faith and works, they're either incompetent or dishonest. Because there's no way to miss this. It's just abundantly clear. Like, you can't even make it difficult, people. I can't turn this into a 45-minute podcast unless I start dealing with something that's unrelated, because the scriptures are laid out for us very plain and clear. And then James 2:26 puts the exclamation point on the topic. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. That's a great explanation. I mean, when you look at man, man's a living spirit or living soul. Genesis 2 and verse 7, the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. In 1 Corinthians 15:45, that's referenced. So it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Well, when the spirit, when the soul departs the body, the physical body is dead. And, you know, I could take this and turn it into a lesson. I've written articles and taught lessons in the past about how you shouldn't focus so much on your outward flesh. You should be concerned with your inward man, because you're a soul without a body. It's not the other way around. The world that we live in wants to direct our minds to thinking about our flesh. Well, there's reasons why the world wants you to think about your flesh. Because if you're focused on the flesh, you're not going to mind the things of God, the things that are spiritual. Romans 8, verses 5 through 8 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Well, James 2:26 is in a context teaching about faith and works, but ultimately this point also directs our minds to think about being more than the flesh. Focus on who you are, not your outward man, but your inward man. And I'm borrowing that language from the Apostle Paul, where he said in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, for which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. We need to be focused on the inward man. Now, not to depart from our lesson, when the inward man departs the body, the physical flesh is dead, right? You understand the point of returning to dust. You know, man was was made from the dust of the earth. And then what? You return to the dust. I mean, if you go and look at old graves, then you're going to find that the remains they're in, no matter what good vault they're in, have decayed, have began to turn back to dust. Ecclesiastes 12:7, the dust shall return to the earth as it was, and the spirit return unto God who gave it. We understand that. Now, sometimes I question how much people understand that, because you see people going to funeral homes and talking to corrupt flesh, dying flesh, dead flesh, without the spirit, as though a person is there. You see people go view grave sites. Grave sites are just dumpsters. I mean, that's all there is to it. And if you believe the Bible, you believe that the body without the spirit is dead. So that person's not there. They are either in paradise or torment. Luke 16:19-31. Without the soul, a person's physical body is dead. Think back, 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 17 through 23. And this is an account about Elijah, where it says, "It came to pass after these things, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. His sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him," because that's the spirit, the soul, breath, living, right? "She said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come to me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Get me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child, brought him down to the chamber into the house, delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. It takes the human spirit, the human soul, to be alive. So faith requires, in the same manner, works to be alive. As we addressed when we looked at verse 18, we talked about faith and works being inseparable. We looked at 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3, where it says, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ and the sight of God and our Father." Faith and works are inseparable. Your work of faith. And I know there are people that like to argue from the Greek, oh, you're not saved by ergon. In 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3, as well as in this context, we're talking about ergon. Well, pistis is the Greek word for faith. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Faith and works are inseparable. And though this context does not address the subject matter of love, because that's not the point James is having to make to these Jewish Christians who are erring on various levels, faith, works, and love are also inseparable. In Galatians 5 and verse 6, it says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Real simple stuff. See, it's just hard to mess this up. It's very difficult to get it to fall apart. When Paul was talking about spiritual gifts, really the context is 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Jumping into the middle of that context, in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3, he said, "Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." So that we know, James' particular context is about faith and works, but it even goes beyond that. Faith, works, love, and we could keep going, but I don't want to expand the lesson too far beyond the contextual point. James is trying to get these Christians who had previously been under the law of Moses, who, like you see in the book of Romans and Galatians, thought so much of their circumcision and the works of the law of Moses that they were justified in God because of those things, trying to get them to see, no, you're not. You have to live the faith of Christ with works therein, or else your belief, your faith, is dead. That is how simple this lesson is. Rahab the harlot was justified by works. When she received the messengers sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. That's a wrap on James chapter 2. I think it is probably the shortest lesson I've delivered in a very long time. But I don't want to combine it with James 3 and verse 1, which we're going to begin to get into next week, if all goes according to plan, and the context in James chapter 3. So there it is. There's your lesson for today. I hope it has been profitable unto you. As always, I encourage you to contact me if I can be helpful to you in any way spiritually. wordsoftruth.net is my personal website. You will find my email and my phone number there. I'd be delighted to hear from you. If all goes according to plan, I will be back on Sunday. But until then, I will say goodbye.